I'm going to preach on a subject that some of you might find offensive until you hear my sermon. I'm going to preach on the subject trick or treat. Friday is Halloween, and if there was ever a holiday that lifts up Satan, it's the one that we call Halloween, All Hallows' Eve. The evening of October 31st, the eve of All Hallows, or Festival of All Saints, which is November 1st. And it supposedly is a day that all the spirits get to come back to earth and do their work. And we pay homage to them, or at least they did when they were celebrating this Festival of All Saints. We don't celebrate that, but we do mark Halloween. And here's what's going to happen on Friday night. There will be little ones, little beings that come to your house in disguise. They will hide their true identities, and they will blackmail you. They will say trick or treat. And what they're doing, they're actually blackmailing you. What they'll say is, give me a treat or I will work a trick on you. And there are still some that do tricks. Like, I read the other day that more toilet paper is sold the week of Halloween than any other week during the year. And that people buy more eggs the week of Halloween than they do any other week of the year. Just keep your pastor out of all of that, will you? No toilet paper, no eggs or anything like that. But we have fun. The little kids have fun with Halloween. But this morning I preach a sermon, a simple sermon, on this subject, trick or treat. And I'll just tell you what I want to accomplish in my sermon. I want you to understand this morning that it is God that offers all the treats. And on the other hand, it is Satan that offers all the tricks. It's been this way since the beginning. It will be this way to the end. And just like those little people in disguise that come and give you a choice on Friday night, if you have your light on, trick or treat, so you get to make a choice between God's treats or the devil's tricks. You get to choose which one you are going to take. And I have three things I want to mention this morning. First of all, I want to go back in time and tell you that's the way it all started. God offered some treats. Satan offered some tricks. Mankind had to decide which one he was going to take. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, it was God that offered all the treats. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." That place was made by God. It was a place that reflected his beauty. I think the Garden of Eden was a taste of heaven that mankind had at the very beginning. It was all the good that earth had to offer. In the Garden of Eden, even though Adam and Eve were charged with caring for the garden, I don't think there were any weeds. I don't think they had to pull weeds out of the flower beds or weeds out of the vegetable garden. I don't think that mosquitoes bit in the Garden of Eden. I think there was mosquitoes, and they might have buzzed, but I don't think they bit people and sucked blood out of people in the Garden of Eden. I think you could stay out in the sun in the Garden of Eden and not have to put sunblock on because the sun warmed you up, but it did not burn you. I think the fruit and the vegetables in the Garden of Eden, I know in the Garden of Eden you didn't have to worry about any sort of pesticides or anything they used to fertilize the vegetables and the fruit. They grew from the richness of the ground and they were bountiful and they were all delicious. Even spinach in the Garden of Eden tasted good. Even Brussels sprouts in the Garden of Eden. And I know there's going to be some people that'll talk to me after the service. What's the matter with you? Don't you like spinach? Don't you like Brussels sprouts? Not much, but they all tasted good in the Garden of Eden. Everything just smelled fresh and beautiful. And it was a place that God made for man and said, hey, everything in it, I made it for you. Everything in it, I want you to enjoy. It's a treat that I'm giving you because I love you. I only have one rule. The one rule is I've made one tree in the Garden of Eden that's mine. I don't want you to eat from it, because in the day that you eat from it, you'll die. But everything else is yours. I want you to have it. Then Satan comes along. Again, God offered mankind all the treats that were encompassed in the Garden of Eden. And then Satan comes along with his tricks. He said, he comes along in chapter 3 of Genesis, and the Bible says that he was more subtle or sneaky than any other beast. And he said, didn't God tell you that you could eat of everything in the garden? Didn't he say that you could eat of everything? Even that tree that he told you not to eat of. He didn't really mean that you die if you ate of it. What he really meant to say, that if you ate of it, you'd be just as smart as he was. You could be like him. You could know everything that God knew. And he came and he lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He tempted her to eat the fruit from that tree, the one that God had said, don't eat of or you die. And again, I mentioned it last week. Some people say, well, if God didn't want mankind to eat of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why didn't he put it in the corner of the garden? Why didn't he put angels to guard against it? Why didn't he make it hard for mankind to get to? God doesn't want us to serve him by force. God wants you to choose him. And he put the tree that he told mankind not to eat of in the very center of the garden. No guards, so that they can make a choice. They could either choose to obey God and to enjoy the treats that he offered. By the way, I think if mankind would have obeyed God and left that tree alone, we might still be living in the Garden of Eden. We might still be in that perfect place that God has prepared. But our forefathers, Adam and Eve, the ones that came first, decided instead of the treats of God, they would rather have the tricks of Satan. And so they believed his lie. They believed the lie that he told about that fruit. They believed that if they ate that fruit, they would be as wise as God. And you know what happened? They disobeyed God. They died, not physically, but spiritually. They got kicked out of the garden. Because you see, a holy, righteous God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. That's why there's no sin in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. I mean, there'll be sinners in heaven, but the sinners that will be in heaven are those washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, whose sins are paid for. And Adam and Eve, in the very beginning, instead of choosing the treats of God, chose the tricks of Satan. They believed his lies. They ate of the fruit. God had to kick them out of the garden. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. Why couldn't they choose the treats of God? Why did they have to choose the tricks of Satan? But let me go on. You see, all of us face that same choice. We look back at Adam and Eve and we scratch our head and say, what was the matter with them? Why did they make that decision? They could enjoy an eternity in the Garden of Eden if they would only obey God, if they'd only left that tree alone. Why couldn't they have chosen the treat instead of the trick? Well, we have to make the same choice. Because you see, God still comes and he offers us treats. He offers us a home in heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see, God has a treat in store for every person. That treat is heaven. That treat that he wants to give every person is an eternity in that place that Jesus is busy preparing now. And if you read about the Garden of Eden and you think that was something, wait till you find out what heaven's all about. The Bible talks about it a little bit, but the Bible also says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And heaven, again, it will be a treat. I mean, there'll be no pain in heaven. There'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no goodbyes in heaven. There'll be no death in heaven. Undertakers will be out of work in heaven, sorry to say. No, I'm not sorry to say. I'm happy to say. There will be no death in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. The street in heaven is made out of gold. One of the most valuable things here on this earth, they will pave the streets with in heaven. But the best part about heaven, the most wonderful part about heaven, is that Jesus will be there. Amen. Jesus will be there. God will be there. The one that created us, the one that made us, the one that loves us, he will be there. And we will get to fellowship with him. And God wants every single person to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But just like Adam and Eve, we have a choice to make. We can choose the treat that God has in store for us, or we can listen to the tricks that Satan comes and offers our way. Because you see, just like there is a heaven, there is a hell. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him and cast him into the bottomless pit." Just like God wants every person to go to heaven, Satan wants every person to go to hell. Just like God wants every person to come and spend an eternity with him in heaven, Satan wants every person to come to hell and spend an eternity with him. That's why the Bible says that Satan will pull all sorts of tricks on people and tell people all sorts of lies to keep them out of heaven, to send them to hell. Here's one of the lies that Satan tells. Here's one of the tricks he plays. He says, "Now look, God's a God of love. God loves you. God loves all mankind. How can a God that loves people the way he does send anybody to hell?" They say, that's not possible. The love of God would prevent him from sending anybody to hell. I want to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible tells us over and over that God has to punish sin. The Bible tells us over and over that being a righteous, holy God, that sin has to be paid for, sin has a price, and God will hold people accountable for disobeying him, rejecting what he wants to give them, and believing the lies and the tricks of Satan. It's been that way from the very beginning when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. It'll be that way to the very end. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, the Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Bible is clear. God will punish sin. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Listen, every single one of us are sinners. We were born with a sin nature, and that moment that we reached in our life when we knew the difference between right and wrong, and we chose to do wrong, our sin nature became sin, and we became a sinner. That's why the Bible says in the book of Romans, "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. I might be able to find somebody to compare myself to and say, I'm not as bad as he is. But when I compare myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize what a sinner I am. So all have sinned. We're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Again, being separated from God, going to hell, spending eternity apart from him. And there was nothing that we could do to pay for our sin. The Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. He sent Jesus Christ. He came to earth. He lived among us for 33 some years. He allowed us to take him to a cross, allowed mankind to take him to a cross, nail him to a cross. And as he hung on the cross, God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and put them on his son. And on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. That's why God can say, and again in the book of Romans, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So just like Adam and Eve, we have a choice to make. We can choose the treats of heaven, or we can choose the tricks of Satan, reject Jesus Christ and what he did for us on Calvary and go to hell and spend eternity. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would choose to believe Satan. He's a liar. Here's some other things that he'll say. Some other lies. He'll say, now listen. You don't listen to that preacher. Everybody is doing exactly what you're doing. And they're not worried about it. I want to tell you something this morning. They should be worried about it. Bible says, wide's the road, and broad's the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have rejected God, but every single one of them is going to hell. And by the way, there won't be any second chances. Once you leave this earth having rejected Christ, you will not get a second chance to receive him. Satan lies. He'll say, oh, look, you got plenty of time. You're young. You can think about this tomorrow, or you can think about this next week, or you can think about this next year. No, you need to think about it today. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So you got to pick. What are you going to pick? The treat of heaven or the tricks of Satan? Because he's a liar. And he's been lying since the beginning of time, and he's never going to change. He'll lie to you to keep you out of heaven. He'll lie to you to take you to hell. Trick or treat? Which one are you going to pick? Again, we look back in Adam and Eve and say, I don't know why they chose what they did. I don't know why they chose to disobey God and have to be kicked out of the garden. Why did they make that choice? Well, why have you not chosen to receive Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, why? I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, I have a hard time believing the Bible. I have a hard time believing all that stuff about heaven and hell. I have a hard time believing all that stuff about God. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. What if there's only a 1% chance that I'm right and you're wrong? What if there's only a 1% chance that I'm right, that the Bible is true, and there is a place called heaven and hell, and what makes a difference is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a 99% chance that you're right and all of it's a bunch of hooey? Why would you take even a 1% chance with your eternity? It doesn't cost you anything to become a Christian. It's free. God paid a price. Jesus paid a price. But it doesn't cost you anything except taking it. That's why, by the way, that's why it's called a gift. If you had to pay for it, it wouldn't be a gift. It's a gift. God's paid the price. All you got to do is choose. So what are you going to choose? You're going to choose the treats of God or the tricks and lies of Satan? One more thing, and then we're done. Trick or treat. And I'll speak to Christians for a minute. God wants us to live holy lives. God wants us to live a life that's pleasing to him. And he promises this. He says, if you be obedient, if you live your life for me, if you let the Holy Spirit tell you how to live your life, and every Christian has the Holy Spirit, part of God, living in them. If you listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to him, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Now, again, we were talking about that in Sunday school when we talked about Joseph. Sometimes that blessing comes in material ways. Sometimes it comes in better than material ways. Sometimes the blessings of God come in a sense of security, in that you know he's in charge and nothing can get to you unless he wants it to get to you. Sometimes it comes in a sense of peace, that just knowing everything's all right. Even though the world may be falling apart with Ebola and ISIS and all the other things that people want us to worry about today, we know we're in God's hands. And there's nothing going to happen to us because we're protected by him. And sometimes his blessing comes in peace. Sometimes his blessing comes in relationships. He gives you a good wife, a good husband, children, and helps you enjoy the relationships in this life. Sometimes it's good health. The blessings of God comes in many, many forms. And he says, now if you live for me, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. But Satan says, oh, life's too short to live for God. You can't have any fun living for God. You just need to do whatever you want to do. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about what God says. Just live your life in the way that you want it, that you want to live. There won't be any repercussions. You know what? If the Bible wasn't true, if there wasn't a heaven or hell, if when this life was over, we just died, I still want to live my life the way that book says, because I would have a better, healthier, more productive life living by that Bible than I would doing what I want to do. And so would you. Now, the Bible is true. There is a heaven and a hell. Your eternity depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. But to every Christian here, we also get to make a choice. Trick or treat. Do I live my life in a way pleasing to God and get his blessings? Or do I ignore the instructions that he's given in my book and I live for myself and get ready for the chastisement that God brings into my life? Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. Trick or treat. What are you going to choose? The treats of God or the tricks of Satan? It's been that way from the very beginning. It'll be that way to the very end. You get to choose. This morning, I beg you, choose God. Choose heaven. Choose living for him as opposed to living for yourself. The treats are far, far better than the tricks. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you for giving us a choice, for letting us decide for ourselves. But I pray, Father, you'd help us to decide for you. I pray if there's those here that have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would choose heaven this morning. They would believe that Jesus did die for their sins and that he does offer to them the gift of eternal life and eternity in heaven. Father, help them not to believe the lies of Satan. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's the father of all lies. The truth is not in him, as we read from the book of John when we started. And so if there's just one here this morning that's never received Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would, this morning, right where they sat, make that decision. Tell Jesus that they know they're a sinner. Tell Jesus that they believe that he died for their sins. And with simple childlike faith, ask him to save them this morning. Then I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, Father, we would be people of the book, people of the Bible. We would live our life in such a way that would be pleasing to you, that we could enjoy the blessings, the abundant life that you want to give every one of your children, and avoid all the sadness and hurt that comes when we let Satan have his way. So please bless this time of invitation. Help people to decide for you. As they decide, help them to come and make those decisions public this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.